Welcome to Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out with Julie Caraccio. Every Tuesday at 1 p.m., Julie interviews experts on all areas of clutter, physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional. A clutter coach and professional organizer, Julie also offers tips to help you get clutter-free for a more joyful and fulfilling life.
I would like to thank today's sponsor, RYB Professional Writing Services. They are certified professional grant writers and also pen press releases and social media copy to get the word out about your business. For more information, please visit reawakenyourbrilliance.com/writing. Hey everyone, today we're going to be talking about mental and emotional clutter and how does that affect our physical clutter. We're going to be talking with Dee Nard about The Compass of Now, her book. I'm very excited. This is a great book. I'm going to encourage you to check it out. But first, I'd like to tell you all about her, and then we're going to go ahead and get started. Master Dee Nard is a graduate from the University of London with a Master's in Economics and an MBA. At the age of 25, she started her own diamond business. At 27, she lost her husband and was left with her 11-month-old baby and $3 million in debt. Her hardships inspired her to dive into the practice of mindfulness meditation, and eventually she was able to pay off her debt in 2 years. Her profound transformation led to her international best-selling book, The Compass of Now. She's a licensed master trainer of neuro-linguistic programming and a licensed hypnotist master trainer of the National Guild of Hypnotists. Retired from the diamond business, she has spent the past 18 years teaching mindfulness and mind management. She's a renowned Thai spiritual teacher and author, and her charity work has inspired millions to be financially and emotionally free. Welcome, Dee Nard.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
Thank you. We're so honored to have you here. I am very excited about this because this is, I want to help people live clutter-free lives, and your book just touches on so many important things, because I believe as we work on the outside clutter, it allows us to work on the inside and vice versa. So let's get started. I want to start off with, how does physical clutter impede our self-awareness?
Well, actually, it helps in a way, because when it puts so much pressure on you, like I did, I had it 18 years ago when my husband passed away. It was the morning of New Year's Eve, and I walked up to my mother's house, and she told me that I don't have to go and pick up my husband anymore because he has passed away. The moment I heard she said that, I said, Mom, this is not funny. It's New Year, and it's about a week before my little baby son will be 1 year old. But the look in her eyes tell me that it's true. I almost collapsed when I look at my son. He was only 11 months old, and I keep asking myself, how would he grow up without having a chance to call daddy or dad, or who would he be running with? However, the moment before I collapsed, my son actually stood up on his feet for the first time, and he held me so tight. That moment was when I knew that he heard everything. He knew that his father passed away. And all he could think of is how he could take care of his mom. Whereas me, adult, I was asking the wrong question, that why this is happening to me. That was the moment when I decided that I will have to be the best mom for him. However, when we moved on to the funeral, there were so many bankers and creditors, and all of them were demanding their money back. I learned at that moment that I inherited $3 million, not in cash, but in debt. And I didn't know what to do, so I had to manage myself. I knew somebody in the funeral said to me that, you know, Dee Dee, there was a mother who lost her son. She carried her son's body to ask people to help, but the Buddha told her that if you can find a house that never loses their loved ones, I will help your son. That was the moment that the word "a house that never loses their loved one" was lingering in my ears. That everyone, the audience, people who are listening to us right now, you must have lost someone. Lost someone you love, lost your boyfriend, girlfriend, lost your jobs, lost your business, or lost something you love most. However, when it happened to other people, it seemed, okay, it's bad, you feel sorry for them, but only until it happened to you that the burden seems so heavy. And that was when that I had to try to reflect it on myself. There were so many thoughts coming. My brain was inundated with all the thoughts that was overwhelming me. So I had to try to figure it out. I went to a quiet place to observe my mind, like you said, get rid of all the clutter in life. But then I found out that without the clutter outside, we still have the clutter inside.
Absolutely. Yes. And that's what I'm excited about, because your book goes into so many details and how we can handle that.
Yeah, bombarding me with all the thoughts. But you know what? There was one lightning moment as my feet was stepping forward. I saw a thought of me wandering to the shareholders and the creditors. The moment I saw that thought actually disappeared that moment. It was a life-changing moment. It was a freedom to mankind to me. I saw that, oh my God, actually we human can be free from our thoughts and feelings. And the moment you see it, those thoughts actually disappear moment by moment. And once you can be free from your thoughts and feelings, that means nothing in the whole world can affect you anymore. The moment it affects you is because you pick up your thoughts and stabbing yourself like a knife. Things that happened actually ended long time ago, step by step, minute by minute. Like people talk bad to you, it's ended. But you keep bringing their words back to your mind and stabbing yourself with your own thoughts and feeling. That was the time when I saw thoughts disappear. And I felt enlightened. However, I sat down and tried to concentrate on myself, calling it meditation, you know, but I had no idea about meditation at that time. There were so many thoughts coming again. I wanted to give up, but I know that, no, if I can't even manage my mind for 5 minutes, then I can't manage my $3 million in debt. It was just like Julia Roberts in the Eat, Pray, Love movie, that she couldn't sit for 1 minute in her cluttered thoughts. However, the moment I sat down, the pain in my leg grew. It was so painful that I almost stopped. But that was one enlightening moment when I saw the pain in my leg separated from me. That was the moment when I saw pain as real as it is, as if it belonged to someone else and not me. That was when I said to myself, if the pain that is so real can become like somebody else's pain, then from now on, dead is dead. My mind is my mind. It cannot affect me or bother me anymore.
Why do you think, because our point of power comes in the present moment, and so you had mentioned the past. So many of us are either stuck in the past or living in the future, and that creates a lot of cluttered thoughts. So how do we live in the present moment?
Yes, the present moment is the moment that you are together with yourself. Like when I saw my pain, and I accept it as it is there, and I can coexist with my pain. And you know what happened after that? When I feel very happy, very light to be living together with my pain in my leg, the pain actually disappeared. And the moment when the pain disappeared, I knew then that I could pay $3 million debt easily, because I saw that if you don't put your energy into pushing something away out of your life, it disappears on its own. However, things does not disappear, or your problem keeps prolong in your life, because you keep pushing it away. The more you want it to go away, the bigger it gets in your life. And that was so clear. Like you said, once you see your life, or you see in your head or in your heart clearly, the thing outside actually clear up as well. Like when I said, okay, I'm happy, I can live with all the debt, so I can talk to the bankers like a person to a person, because you may not have debt, but your audience may. When we have debt, we feel like we are smaller than other people. Mm-hmm. When we have debt, we feel like, oh, we are not equally human as others. it's like there's some pain that's with us all the time. But that was the moment when I saw it clearly that, hey, look, the bankers actually make profit when they lend us money. And they even ask us to borrow their money. So now we are partner. That means they should take half the responsibility as I did. So that's how I talk to them, and I get all the debt. Because another thing is that once you stop thinking about the problem, you have the eyes and the brain and the heart to see the opportunities that are coming your way. That was the time when I saw all the diamond business opportunity. So I worked very hard with my 15 diamond store and get the money, sell some land, get all the good things that come into my life. I normally tell people that who came up to me and said, okay, look, that was the worst time of the world economy. It was when Thailand had the bad situation in the economy of Thailand. However, I said the way I paid off my debt is like when the farmers want to get rid of the monkey, they will bring a coconut, cut off the top of the coconut, put some peanuts inside, then the monkey will run, put its hands in the coconut, pick up the peanuts, and then it's stuck. It cannot let go. So we may laugh, you may laugh at the monkey, right? I too. So if the monkey wants to let go, it just all it has to do is just let go of the peanuts and let go. However, all of us, when we are stuck onto something like bad lovers, bad friends, bad jobs, unhappy life, it's because we hold on to something that we wanted so much that this has to go this way according to what I want. It's like in your palms, you hold on to some desire so hard, like there is a thorn that you hold inside your palm and it hurts you so much that you don't know how to let go. The more you want to let go, the more it's stuck to your life. However, my secret is that I'm telling you in my book, The Compass of Now, is that to observe your mind. Once you see that your mind is holding on to something, you don't even have to try to release it. You just let go automatically. The moment of awareness, that's the moment of freedom.
That's just beautiful. And the monkey and the coconut actually was my favorite little story throughout the whole book, because we're like the monkey and we keep those cluttered thoughts and hold on to the peanuts. And I wanted to talk about anger, because you wrote about that in the book, and because I think a lot of us have anger. And one question I wanted to ask you, because the whole book's about self-awareness, I got angry about something the other day, and when I get angry, I go inside and I say, okay, this is about you, what are you upset about? And the other night, because I used to stuff down my emotions and not acknowledge them, so I was able to release the anger, but it physically came off, so I just observed it and I said, okay, just release yourself, keep releasing, but it was obviously a deep layer. But talk to us a little bit about anger, because that's something that can really clutter our minds.
Yes, people have put in so much effort on getting rid of their anger. But actually, if you look at it in a fair way, anger is just one emotion, just like fear, just like a worry, just like anxiety or happiness or whatever. If you see anger as one emotion, as much weight as happiness or whatever, you can see it as it is, just an emotional or body or physical sign in order for you to take care of your life. When you are angry, it's because you feel that someone, something is threatening your life, and your body actually producing some chemical for you to make it fair, right? To make things fair. So normally, people, when they get angry about something, they're either not doing anything at all, keeping their anger, stuff it inside until they go and get angry with their loved ones or people in their family. That's not the way. Either that or they release their anger too much that they regret it afterward. So what I'm saying is that the key in my book about the compass of now is about observing. Once you just observe the emotion as it is, that okay, there is some blood pressure rising up, your heart beat faster, you get red. Once you just observe it as it is, you can choose what you want to do, what you want to say. It's like you are the commander. You make the choice. You are in control. what you want to do, what is best in that situation that you want to achieve the result. But we may say that, okay, but when I get angry, I don't have time to think. Right? Mm-hmm. So there is a choice that if you're practicing observing yourself more often, observing it when you talk, observing it when you walk, observing it when you eat something, or even when you shower, then you will notice your anger right away. What I'm saying is that anger is one emotion. However, once you see it, you can choose. You have the choice. You have the responsibility and you have the power to choose over it.
Absolutely. And I had an aha moment while reading the book. I never thought of it until reading your book, but gossip I see as mental clutter now. And I don't know how it is in Thailand, but here in the U.S. there's People magazine, there are lots of gossip sites and things like that. Talk about how gossip creates clutter for us.
Well, actually, there is one thing. People will not gossip about others who they perceive as lower than them. They only gossip about people who they think working up or better than them in some way that are worth gossiping. That's one thing, right? Mm-hmm. So actually, if they gossip about you, it also shows that people who are gossiping about other people have some issues in their life, like some problems or some family problems that they do not want to take care of. Even for us, when we talk about gossiping about movie star, Hollywood superstar or something, that is only when we have the things to tackle, but we don't want to take care of it in our life.
That's great. That's a huge insight because it serves as a distraction and we're not taking our care of ourselves when we're gossiping about others.
Yes. So once you understand your own attitudes and other people mm-hmm. who are gossiping attitudes, then there's no worries. It's just about people who don't have the will and the power or not strong enough to take care of their own life issues and talking about you who they perceive as better than they are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that brings me up another point that you brought up in the book. People in our lives can also be clutter. So talk about a little bit about that.
Yes. Imagine, do you know people who hang out with friends who actually, with friends like that, you don't need enemies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like the word friends has been made so big that people feel that, oh, if I don't have friends, I will not look good. So people collect Facebook friends rather than true friends. But I believe that if you have friends that you hardly know or you hardly share the core interest with them, it will be like you have so many dresses that you don't wear and it clutter your closet that you can't find your favorite dress when you want to wear them. Bad friends is the same. When you hear things that they talk about their life issues or the things that they don't like in their life, it's clutter your mind, your brain, and your good life. You can never have a good life if you have friends who talk about bad things all the time. So once you choose to be positive and stay in the positive life side in your life, the unnecessary friends will disappear. Friends who are not actually your friends. They are just there just to pass their times or throw you some garbage out of their life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we need to go with courage in order to manage our life, right?
Yes, absolutely. I also had another aha moment. I love this, and I never thought about it this way, because as a coach and a professional organizer, I work on helping people get rid of clutter, and there's always an emptiness, but you described it so eloquently. You said emptiness in our heart because people are always trying to fill that, and I think that that causes not only physical clutter, but all the other clutter as well. So talk a little bit about that.
Yes, I love that. You know what? At this time while we're talking, there are millions or billions of people walking on earth feeling the emptiness in their heart, but no matter how much they try to fill in with fame, money, materials, or love, they will not be able to fill that emptiness, that hole in their heart. The feeling is much simpler. It's just right now that your listener may be listening. You just observe it, like close your eyes and feel inside of you. See that void inside. The moment you notice it, it's filled. Just like that.
Mm-hmm.
You see it, it's filled. And all of us can observe or be aware of those emptiness that arise, because it's the nature of our mind that something rising and passing away, rising and passing away moment by moment. And that makes human feel the emptiness of when it's passing away momentarily. So we tend to catch that emptiness inside of our mind. But once we accept it, see it, be aware of it, there's nothing to be fear of.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to also ask, and again, I had so many aha moments. I wrote on Facebook, I'm reflecting so much because the book was so powerful. How do we redefine success? Because I think, again, I'm going to speak as an American. I think we need to completely change how we see it here. But talk a little bit about that and share your thoughts.
In my life, the moment when I paid off my $3 million debt was when I actually sat in front of my house on the lawn, the green lawn with my sister. And there was a very nice breeze that touches my my body. And I felt so happy. I said to my sister that, oh, I feel so happy. And my sister said, what? With all that debt and your son has no father and people are stabbing you in the back and you said you're happy? And I said, yes. And you know what? With that happiness, I can hear, feel, and smell success so easily. So success to me, it means that you are happy with yourself moment by moment. And more to that is that you're happy with your family, you enjoy yourself with your family, your friends. I love my family very much, and I have best friends on earth that I'm so proud of. And that allows you to sustain your success. Because once you know that when you succeed, you go out and enjoy yourself, you spend your money and you have your friends always there with you. Your family is always there with you. In good time, in bad time, success will not have any meaning if you don't have anyone sitting beside you when you walk in the sun, when you see the sunset or sunrise. However, I do not reject money. I think people at this time has been putting too much blame on money, saying that, oh, money is evil, money making people turn bad and all that. I believe that you can be happy as well as being wealthy. And it helps. With all the wisdom you have, the happiness you have, with the money, you can make more contribution in your life to the world. Like I'm coming to America or spreading the news to the American people. It takes money. And even though for the past 18 years that I have been giving a charity talk or charity retreat for free to everyone, it costs like $200,000 each time and all that, each year at least, all those cost money. But that means the more you have, the more wisdom you have, if you have the company, the money accompany with it, then you can help more people. Yeah.
Absolutely. I feel that you just hit it on the head. And I want to read from your book on page 45, because I love this about debt, because it made me think about it in a different way, because you know, debt is physical, emotional, it's complete clutter. From that day on, I saw that my debts were just debts and nothing else. They existed on their own, separate from my mind. That problem is just a problem and nothing else. It exists on its own, separate from my mind. My mind is my mind and nothing else. It exists on its own, separate from external influences. So what would you say to someone who's listening and said, you know what, I got a lot of debt going on, I got a lot of clutter in my life. What would you say to them?
Yes, I would say that just see, being aware of yourself, like close your eye for a moment and observe your heart, the sadness feeling that may arise inside of you. The moment you see the sadness as something that can be aware of, then from then on you can manage your debt professionally. Otherwise, you will be too obsessed by your debt, and it will overwhelm you. You can never get out of it with that attitude. And this, and if and only if you can see your debt as if it belonged to someone else and manage it professionally, then you can get rid of it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I loved, I had a little, again, one of my many aha moments. We are currently, I go through everything I own every year, and so we're selling stuff we don't want. And I laughed because you talk about in the book, people are like, how can you sell in a bad time? And you said, because I accepted the price that was offered. Because, you know, if people have garage sales or when I'm working with clients, I'll say, you're not going to get what you paid for. But people, if even if it's $5, sometimes like that monkey in the peanuts gets stuck, and I've got to have that price.
Yes, exactly. And I really love that feeling too. Whatever the buyer offer, I take it. People ask me at that time, that, no way, if you do that, you will lose money and you will never have enough money to pay off your debt. But the funny thing about life is that when you let go of things, you get more. But the more you want, the more you said, oh, I have to make the most out of this, you won't get anything. Mm-hmm. Just the funny way the universe tried to teach us something. The more you want to take, the less you get. The less you want to take, the more you get.
Right, right. No, it's so true. But we get like that monkey with the peanuts. Now, other thing I love, talk about mine. Because when you wrote that, that was another, I'm like, wow, what a great way to look at it. So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, can I just say a little bit more about the more?
Sure, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
When I said it, it sounds like a cliche that everybody is saying it. However, if we all are looking at it, in our life, when we want nothing, we get everything. It happened to each and every one of us, but we forget when we actually need that advice the most. So I really enjoyed this conversation with you, and I know that there will be so many people listening to us, and they will remember the time in their life when they actually say, okay, whatever, they're fine with it. They are very happy with themselves on their own, and they get everything they want then. So with that mentality, we'll allow people who are listening to us now to get out of their problem and have the life they deserve. Like Julie, at the moment, I really treasure everything I have today. The past 18 years is like the journey that I paid off the debt very fast, and then I earn a lot more. I've been giving millions of people advice and charity retreat, health free seminars and everything. And I know that all the challenges that we are facing right now, it will help us. It's like the universe are sending the challenges just right for all of us to take care of and send us to the better position in our life, as long as we turn our best side to. With the mind, like you just asked about the mind, I feel that when we have problem, it is the sign that there is something great coming. Because a problem means you need to elevate your mentality in order to overcome that problem. But once you elevate your mental, your thinking, your physical and everything, it means that every aspect of your life will be lifted up as well.
Mm-hmm.
So every time that, imagine if every one of us in this world can have an automatic signal that, okay, here's the problem. That means something great is happening into my life. Let's turn our best side to this. Wouldn't that be great?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And with the work you're doing, we'll change the world.
Yes. But Julie, imagine that if all of us keep telling ourselves to turn our best side to take care of things, the least that will happen is that everyone will have a better life.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And I think you change it one person at a time. And it's reading your book gives someone an aha moment. It allows them to clear clutter, whatever they do, to need to move forward.
Exactly, Julie. It's so wonderful talking to you today.
Yeah. Thank you. I so appreciate it too. But I wanted to also ask you, I see a lot of people, you know, we talk about how, and you talk in your book about living in the present moment, and we always have the power of choice on our emotions. So many of us are living in fear and anxiety, and that's, you know, fear can be from the past or it can be about the future, anxiety about the future. Can you talk a little bit about that?
You know what? All this fear, I also the same. The moment the fear arises, if you notice it, fear actually happens between your chest. It happens through your heart. It rises up like a light smoke. If you just observe and notice the nature of your fear, where it happens, how it looks, how it feels, does it have the smell, the scent, how does it feel? The moment you see it, you notice it, the fear becomes as if some object that cannot disturb you anymore. But what is more is that behind all those fear, throughout the past 18 years that I meet with people, it lies with guilt. I notice that most of the people that are not living the life they want is because they having guilt. Whether it be guilt with their loved ones or their family or even to themselves. With guilt is a very big issue for people. Also, you can use this same technique. Observe your guilt. If you look through the guilt, see how it feels, how it tastes, how it feels. The moment you see the guilt and the guilt can become separated from you, you will not destroy your life. Because I saw a lot of people who cannot maintain their wealth, cannot maintain their love or their success, that because of the guilt that they carry with them from their past or their childhood.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love also, can you talk about the shrinking glass? I have actually literally a glass that says half full, and I've completely changed my perspective after reading that. I love this.
Yes, I love this too. It was when I had very little money left during those times, and I was very happy. And there was one gentleman came up to me. He was about to write a book with Dalai Lama. He came up to me and meet me in Thailand. He's American. I think his name is Lawrence Musenberg. He said to me that, Didi, please tell me why you are so happy with all your debt. I said, okay, look, if you have a glass of water and you have half water full, people will say, okay, look at the half that you still have the water. Still, I feel that if you look at it in the most positive way, you still feel that it's not full. However, what I did is that if you reduce the bottle or the glass to a quarter, then half the glass will be more than enough. Reducing the glass into a quarter is like when you observe your mind and see your own desire. Like you say, oh, I want a bigger house, I want a bigger car, I want 10 more pair of shoes. Once you see your desire, you can be happy with what you have then. But you are also allowed to buy or have what you want according to your capability at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a great analogy, because I think gratitude is so important when we're always seeking and saying, oh, I'll be happy when, but being grateful in the moment for what we have.
Yes, may I add a little bit more?
Absolutely.
At the moment, there is a fashion about the gratitude so much, but you need to know, people would need to know that in order to feel thankful or to feel the gratitude, you also need to notice your mind that you are clinging on to some of your desire as well. Without noticing your mind that clinging on to some desire, you will be suppressing those desire. And it will fire back at the later date.
Yes.
Okay, we can say, okay, thank you for this, thank you for that. Also, you have to acknowledge and accept yourself that, okay, you have a desire for something. You notice it, you accept it. It's like the moment you accept yourself, you can live with what you have, even the emotion inside of you.
So. Yeah. No, thank you for adding that. That's a really important point. Is there any exercise that you'd like to share with us as a kind of a closing that you can people might find beneficial?
Okay. To me, I always tell myself that things happen to take our life to the best position always. So I have the three rules to myself that whatever happens to me, first thing, I will smile. The moment I smile, I know automatically that there will be more things to make me smile. The moment you smile, you know that you have control over everything, at least the control over yourself and your emotion. And once you are happy, you tend to bring more happiness into your life. Imagine that people always say, oh, once you pass this, you will smile, you will be laughing about it. Why not now? Because now the moment that you're facing with the problem, that is the moment that you need the chemical to be happy the most in order to bring on in more happiness. So first thing, I'll smile. Second thing, I say thank you. Okay, this thing happening to me, like I said, mentioned earlier, that a problem is a sign that life will be better. So I need to turn my best side in. Normally, it's so human that when something happens that we feel sad, or we wallow ourselves with all the bad words or bad thoughts or talking to ourselves in a bad way. However, the faster you turn your best side to take care of it, the faster things happen in a better way. And thirdly, stop being consumed with your own problem.
Yeah.
If you want to be consumed with your opportunities in life, consumed with happiness in life, consumed with good people in your life, then you can generate more great things in your life.
Yeah. Absolutely. That, yes. Oh, I love that.
Thanks. And being consumed with the great things in life.
That's wonderful. And your book is The Compass of Now. And please tell people your website and how they can learn more and how they can get the book.
Okay. My website is ddnard.com, ddnard.com. And my Facebook is The Compass of Now. I answer all my questions in there. And my YouTube is Compass Book. Yes.
Compass Book. I encourage everyone. It was a great book. I absolutely love it. And it's even getting clearing the clutter, but you're getting self-awareness and a whole lot more. So I want to thank you, Dee Dee, on your American tour for stopping by.
Thank you, Julie. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks again to today's sponsor, RYB Professional Writing Services. They are certified professional grant writers and also pen press releases and social media copy to get the word out about your business. For more information, please visit reawakenyourbrilliance.com/writing. And I want to encourage everyone watching and listening to get out there, release some clutter, and create the life that you desire and deserve.
Thanks for joining us on Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out. You can find out more about Julie Caraccio and her services at reawakenyourbrilliance.com. We'll see you here next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Remember, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step.